Estudios Planeteando presenta.
I find so many avocados from Mexico. I don't know whereabouts in Mexico, but somewhere, it says Mexico. Uh-huh. We have a lot of lemons from Chile. We have a lot of asparagus, which is being flown by aeroplane from Peru to Denmark. And this is ending up in the trash.
Bienvenidos a Vida Casi Cero, un espacio que busca abrir la conversación y cuestionar nuestros hábitos, cómo estos afectan de manera positiva o negativa a nuestro planeta. También hablaremos con personas y profesionales que desde su trinchera están aportando a nuestro mundo a través de sus proyectos y empresas. Soy Valeria Tejeda y te invito a ser parte del cambio, ya que solos no podemos cambiar el mundo, pero sí el pedacito que nos toca. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Vida Casi Cero podcast. I am really excited and also nervous because it's my very first English episode ever. But the guest that I have, it's really worth it. I don't know if you knew this, but food waste is a huge global problem. And according to the FAO, one third of the food that we produce is wasted, either because us as consumers, we don't buy it, we find it in the trash, or there are a number of reasons why it is wasted. And I know a lot of people who's working really hard to visualize this problem and will change it because it's not fair that we are producing way more than we need while there are people suffering hunger. And one of them is Matt Homewood, who's my guest this day. And he lives right now in Denmark, and he has an amazing Instagram account, which is an urban harvester, where he take pictures of what he found in the trash. And we'll talk about this during the episode. So Matt, welcome to the show. Thank you for being here.
Well, thank you so much, Valeria, for having me, and so appreciated to do this in English, because it'll be a more interesting episode than if it was in Spanish because of me. Thank you, and thanks for having me.
No, thank you. Like I said, it's a pleasure, and I want to start with your story. Who are you, and how did you get involved into food waste, and why food waste?
Okay, yeah, so my name is Matt Homewood. My dad's French, my mom's English. I was born in Paris, but my mom earned more money, so we moved to London when I was five. Mm-hmm. And then, I grew up in London like a normal middle-class kid living in the suburbs. And anyway, I watched a lot of wildlife documentaries when I was younger. Mm-hmm. So my dream was once upon a time to make some films about nature. So after a year of traveling around Asia and Australia, when I was 18, I went to study biology in Scotland. Mm-hmm. And then during that time there, I discovered that, you know, a lot of animals and plants were going extinct because, humanity was using too much of the Earth's resources, basically. So then after the degree, I the world's complex. I thought, okay, I need to do another degree because I need to understand a bit more what's going on. So I did a master's in climate change, and that's why I moved to Copenhagen in Denmark. Mm-hmm. And I did a two-year climate change master's here. And climate change is a huge topic. Yes. And so I thought, okay, let's do the broad to start off with. And then I decided to specialize in the global food system. Okay. Because basically agriculture and the way we eat has a huge impact on, greenhouse gases, but also how much land we use, how much water we use, and a lot of things that people know about these days, luckily. And during that master's, I took actually a quick break for 6 months, and I went to cycle with an environmental activist called Rob Greenfield in the USA.
Yes. People...
Yeah,
yes,
exactly.
I believe a lot of people who heard this program know who he is.
Exactly. He's done amazing work at visualizing so many of our problems and the way modern society lives. Mm-hmm. And he's a huge inspiration. And he's a very busy man. He does a lot with very few resources, and a lot of volunteers help him. But long story short, I cycled with him and 30 other people, randoms, from New York City in the East Coast to Seattle on the West Coast.
Wow, all the way.
Yeah, it was amazing. And it was a big trip. But the reason why I raise it up here is because basically from New York City to Minneapolis in the center of the country, we basically lived on dumpster dive food off American supermarket trash.
All the 30 people?
Yeah, more or less. Oh, some people didn't want to, but the ones who did want to, you know, we'd just cycle up to a small American town and you'd look in the local dumpster, Trader Joe's, and I forget all the different companies. And it was packed full of fruits, vegetables, bread, lots of sweets and chocolate, America being America. And that's when I thought, oh my God, this is crazy. Like, if we can live off this food for 6 weeks, mm-hmm. like, and this is every day. And so then in my last year at university, I wrote about the global food system. And very quickly, you discover this statistic by the FAO that you mentioned, between 33% and 50% of all food on our planet goes to waste.
Yes.
And that's what basically kickstarted this project called An Urban Harvester, where I just focus on Denmark and I look at how much supermarkets waste here, because it is unbelievable. And that's how the page started 2 years ago.
Yes, 2 years ago.
Yeah, in January 2019.
I remember when I don't recall the exact day that I started to follow you, but I did my research and, you know, like I scroll all the way down, and at first you didn't show yourself and you didn't want the people to know where you were taking the food out. Why was that? Why you didn't want the people to know who were you and the country you were living?
That's a really good point. Well, the thing is, as you told me pretty recently on Instagram, the big issue we face is that in many countries, supermarkets go to great lengths to hide what is located in their dumpsters. So for example, in the country I grew up in the United Kingdom, now people have told me, employees of supermarkets, there is a specific room which is refrigerated with the food waste, which is locked in dumpsters within a garage, essentially, to keep out homeless people and students from taking the food. And this is the big risk we face, basically, if I'm too loud about this thing, is that all the local supermarkets will just say, oh, okay, too much media attention. We're going to lock all our dumpsters. And then it's out of sight, it's out of mind, and then the people can't talk about it and see that, you know, this is a big problem.
But it's still happening, though.
Exactly. In the United Kingdom, there's still loads of waste happening. In the USA, you know, we try to do what we could to survive. But many supermarkets, they have these big compactors where basically all this food gets compacted into a very dense amount. And some company will come deal with that waste and they'll make some bioenergy product.
Okay, got it.
So something like this. But essentially, that food should have been sold. And so that's why I kept it anonymous. But then the problem with Instagram is that the algorithm favors have a human face in it, because it's a social media and we're a social species. And so then I thought, it's a problem now that my face isn't there, because unfortunately my posts aren't gaining as much reach as they could were my face to be in there. And that's when I decided, okay, it's time to show my face. And also the interesting thing with Denmark is that around the world, many people consider Scandinavia and Denmark to be absolute world leaders when it comes to the green movement. And actually, when you start looking into it, it's just not the case.
Yeah, well, here, you know, I'm in Mexico, and we think that European countries are way ahead in every manner, no? And sustainability also, but that's like you said, it's not always like that, and like dark secret maybe.
Exactly.
Okay.
That's exactly it. You know, many European people look down to Latin American countries and say, oh, you're not as developed as us, not as many people go to university, you know, when you look at from a sustainability perspective, people live far more within, you know, nature's limits than we do up in Europe or North America. And yes, socially, there are some good social welfare, there's some safety nets in Scandinavia, and that is to be definitely applauded and celebrated. But when it comes just to the environment, there's a lot of secrets here.
Okay, that's really interesting. And maybe, I don't know if at first, also because of the attention you might receive or you thought you might have received in the past, but is harvesting in this case in Denmark, is it legal? Can you do it? What how do you do it? I mean, and present scenario with COVID, how has changed the task of harvesting?
That's a great question. And it's an important one. Each country will have its own laws, of course. Mm-hmm. So I don't want people listening to this radio show and saying, oh, let's all go harvesting. Uh-huh. Like, please do your own research wherever you live, because, you know, prison is no joke. And, you know, I don't want people to jeopardize their freedom for an activist project. But some countries, it is legal. So in Denmark, for example, it is legal to harvest as long as the bins are open to the public and that there is no lock.
Okay.
Which is why I stayed anonymous, because you just put a quick lock, then you can't do it. But so if I jump a fence, for example, then suddenly it becomes illegal.
Because you're on private
property.
Uh-huh. Okay. Got
exactly. Yeah, I'm on private property. And so suddenly you're not allowed to be there.
Like trespassing or something.
Yeah, exactly. It's trespassing. And in the USA, again, it varies. I don't know it all. So people have to do their research depending on where they live. But so what I do here in Copenhagen, so Copenhagen, as many people know, is a great city for bicycles. And so most citizens in Copenhagen cycle to work, to school, to university. So a long story short, that means that there are many small supermarkets here. There aren't like the massive supermarkets out of town where you drive to. So that means that there's a lot of small supermarkets and there's a lot of small amounts of food waste every day in these small places. So I just take my bicycle and I go to my local supermarket dumpsters, not in the front, at the back. And I just go have a look at what there is. If you go during the afternoon, this is a good time for fruits and vegetables. Go during the evening, that's a better time to get all the meat, which is more the activist side, because I don't eat the meat because you never know how long it's been out of the fridge, and food poisoning is obviously a serious it's a thing you must consider. But you can find coconut oil, you can find tomato paste, boxes like cotton men's boxes. You can find anything you can think of that is in a supermarket, a certain percentage will end up in the dumpster. So like matchsticks. I've got some notes after. We'll go through some of my special harvests. But it is, and this is why I started this urban harvest, because the problem with statistics is that in a way they're important, but also meaningless. You know, people read, 163 million kilos of waste. What does that even mean? You know, it could...
I'm sure we'll never see that amount of kilograms in our life. So it's really hard for us to picture it, unless you see it, maybe.
Exactly. And so that's when I thought, okay, I need to, again, inspired by my friend Rob Greenfield, I thought, okay, I need to use photography. You know, when I was trying to be a nature photographer taking birds, now I take photos of rubbish. But, you know, by using photography, you can really bring all this amazing food, much of it in great condition, to just show people, like, this is crazy. This should have been sold. Maybe not at the price the supermarket wanted, but certainly at a price that you and me, the consumer, should have said, look, I'm willing to pay this, take it or leave it. And if they didn't have the option to throw this food into a dumpster, then they'd have to take that offer. This is just, you know, economics. Base Adam Smith wrote about this in the 18th century. It's by demand. It's very easy.
Yes. But I don't know if you know this, but why do they throw it away? If was it the food on sale already and it didn't, people didn't buy it, or just it reached the expiration date and they toss it, or why?
So yeah, it's a good question. It's a mix. Our modern food system overproduces food.
Definitely.
But that is an issue, but overproduction is only overproduction if there is waste. But if people sold the food at the price that consumers were willing to buy the food, you know, if that's 10 cents of a dollar, well, you need to change the supply of food coming to the supermarket. You know, for example, I found 50 kilos of mayonnaise that had been reduced to $1. Mayonesa.
Okay, yeah, got it. Okay.
But, you know, people eat mayonnaise. The world isn't vegan. For better or worse, the world isn't vegan. It will never be vegan. And so, you know, mayonnaise. Why is mayonnaise ending up in the trash? Why is steak ending up in the trash? People eat beef all the time. So clearly, it's a price problem. You know, why are they selling steak at $4, already reduced from, say, $8, when they could sell it for, say, $2? So basically, it's a long story, but they're using the best before date. They're using it in a problematic way, in that they're keeping the price of a product for too high, for too long, in relation to the date where this food product is literally going to become worthless because of the law. These companies have to then throw it. So instead of using, you know, this date as like, ooh, the alarm bells are ringing, we need to sell this food as soon as possible, they're kind of saying, yeah, let's give it a quick discount on the day. And then if no one buys it, oh, whatever, just put it in the trash. But this is a big problem when you start thinking about how many resources are going in to produce this food.
Yeah, not only the food itself, but human labor, water, energy, the transportation, the kilometers that, in this case, these meat had to pass in order to get into the supermarket. There's a lot of things we do not see.
Where Latin America comes in. For example, I find so many avocados from Mexico. I don't know whereabouts in Mexico, but somewhere, it says Mexico. We have a lot of lemons from Chile. We have a lot of asparagus, which is being flown by aeroplane from Peru to Denmark, and this is ending up in the trash. We have all the meat in Europe. All the meat is being raised about 50% on a diet of soybeans that have been grown in Paraguay, Brazil, Argentina. So, you know, Latin America is very much part of this story, because a lot of food today is grown in Latin America and then shipped to richer nation.
Wow, avocados all the way there, well, ending up in the trash.
Exactly.
That's crazy. But before we're moving on to the other questions, so you started because of your experience with Rob, and you returned home and you wanted to, I saw this in New York, in the United States, it will happen for sure here. Or how was your first approach in Denmark?
Well, so actually I wasn't so sure that Europe would happen. You know, we always have this, you know, assumptions are terrible things, because we always think something is the way it is, and actually once you start scratching the surface, things often aren't the way you think they were. And so Europe always thinks it's a very sustainable place, but that's not the case at all. It's just as bad in the USA in most respects. And so for food waste, I thought it would be better. No, not at all. I go to the supermarket. Yes, we have fewer sweets and snacks and processed foods, but we have just as much fruits and vegetables and great foods. And so basically I just thought, okay, well, I'm just going to go investigate my local supermarkets. So I did. I realized how much there is. And I thought, okay, I need to find a way of communicating this message. And so that's when I started this Urban Harvester page. And the other reason why I kept it anonymous was because I didn't want people, because I write in English, I knew it would be a lot of English-speaking people following the page. I didn't want people to think, this is just a Danish problem, Copenhagen. No. It's not that at all. It's not a global problem, but it's certainly a Western problem. And so that's why I use my platform to share people who are doing exactly the same work as me from across the world, Norway, Germany, USA, Australia, and all these other countries. And so that's how it came to be. I started on social media and I set up this project.
Oh, and do you, well, you mentioned you didn't eat meat, for instance, but from the food you harvest, do you eat it, or how is the process, or do you just give it away, or what do you do with all the food you rescue?
So, sometimes people must think, what the hell is this guy doing bringing back so much food? So the fruit and vegetables, I more or less always keep, and my girlfriend loves to cook also, and so do I, so that's great. And so we process, we make jams, we make, always curry, we're always cooking, so that's great. When it's the meat, unfortunately, that is literally just for activism, and that ends up back in the trash because I'm not going to start giving that out to my neighbor when I don't eat it myself. Mm-hmm. But, you know, this, for example, when I come back with 20 kilos of tomatoes or potatoes, then I will give it some to my neighbor because, you know, they like the food and they don't care. So, yeah, I mean, a lot of our food comes from the dumpster. And like, for example, right now it's December. It's cold in Scandinavia, it's freezing. And so basically that means that everywhere you go outside, it's like a fridge, it's like a refrigerator. Mm. So they put this food in the dumpster and it's still very well preserved. So you come back after a night's work, a day's work, there's some good fruits and vegetables that you can find there. Sure. So yeah, not everything, because I cook a lot of, you know, sourdough bread and things, but a lot of my food does come from the dumpster, and that saves, yeah, some money.
Definitely. And you mentioned that sometimes you give it to your neighbors. Do your neighbors know that they come from the trash?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I always mean if I dropped them 10 kilos of potatoes, I didn't let them know.
Yeah, sure. What was that, the reaction at the beginning? Because when I mentioned to my family that I was going to have this interview, the first person that I told about was my sister. And I told her, oh, you know, there's this guy in Europe that, which is basically, not lives, but he rescued food from the dumpsters. And she was like, what? You know, that's the first reaction that I think most people have. So what was their reaction of your neighbors?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is that it wasn't too bad. I think Denmark, like the student community at university, is kind of their secret. It's like, let's save some money, guys, and let's go dumpster diving. And so it's actually quite common within Danish society to know about dumpster diving. And so, for example, my two neighbors, they're both nurses, and they were fine with it. So, for example, all the bananas in Denmark come from Dominican Republic. And there are so many bananas wasted. I almost want to go to Dominican Republic to meet the farmers and thank them and let them know that, unfortunately, it's crazy how much waste I see.
The destiny of your food.
Exactly. And so, but anyway, so bananas I come back often with. And I often give bananas to them because I come back, you know, sometimes with 100 bananas. And so, you know, they'll bake a cake and they're so sweet, you know, they'll come give me and Panilla, my partner, a slice of banana bread. And so, no, it's very nice, you food share. But I don't share the food too much because you can get in trouble with the authorities here in Denmark because...
If someone gets sick or something like that?
Yeah, exactly. And then that's my problem. So so I only give like bananas or potatoes to my neighbours, and that's it. I don't give it to anyone else because, you know, it's not worth the hassle.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And which harvest has been the most amazing or the most incredible that I couldn't believe I found, I don't know, wine or something like that, the one that you recall the most?
Okay, well, I think, I mean, by far the time which is ridiculous was, it's probably about 18 months ago now. This is when I was dumpster diving like a lot, like twice a day. Mm-hmm. 7 days a week. Wow. And anyway, I just opened the dumpster lid to one of my local places and the whole dumpster was full of bacon. But like so much bacon, 157 packets. That's 16 kilos of bacon. And I worked out with somebody, that's bacon from 5 pigs worth. So like in my lounge, when I was taking a photo, I'm sure I can send you a photo for the podcast website.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Like literally my living room was overflowing with bacon. it's such a shocking sight. It was just so ridiculous. So that was crazy. And then the other time was literally the photo came out last week. I came back with 180 bags of coffee. That's 90.
I saw that. I remember.
You know, those beans would have been grown in maybe Colombia or Ecuador or African countries, and I mean ridiculous also. So 90 kilograms of coffee, again, just from one supermarket, which unfortunately now, just recently, is locked.
They found out or
yeah, why? I went the other day and it was locked. They've put a massive gate at the start of the kind of the yard where you enter. So now I can see the dumpsters in the distance. I can no longer access. So I know the waste is still happening, but it's hidden. It's terrible.
And what did you do with the coffee and all the amount of bacon you found?
So the bacon, unfortunately, again, as we've talked about, went straight back into the trash. But the coffee, I've given out. This I have given out because that's fine. I've given out to friends, family, Pernilla's family, to my neighbors, my work colleagues, my partner's work colleague. Yeah, just share it out as much as possible.
Wow.
Because 90 kilos is crazy.
Uh-huh. Well, I do not drink coffee, but my parents do. They do it daily. And, well, 90 kilos, it's...
Yeah, I mean, if I kept that for myself, that's probably enough coffee till like 2025.
Yeah. And is it good? Have you tried it?
I tried it. It's fine. It's the thing with coffee is that it's a bit like wheat, you know. The minute you crush the grain or the coffee bean, then, you know, oxidation starts to happen on the flour or the coffee grounds. And so very quickly, these things can go a bit rancid. So the coffee is a year old, so it's not perfect, but it's fine. Mm. I mean, we shouldn't be buying coffee that's already grounded or flour for that matter, because these are foods that are very much on their way to going off nutrition and taste-wise. So it's okay, it's fine, but it's nothing special.
Okay. You mentioned at the beginning that the very first step, it could be to look up our local laws, no? Because in some countries it's legal, in some countries it's not. But let's say that it's legal in a country where people are listening. Okay. That will be the first step. And what would be the following steps in order to harvest? And in a situation like today we are living in COVID, how has changed?
That's a good point. So first thing, just practicalities. I think a pair of gloves is very, very useful because sometimes different materials like glass, for example, can be within the trash. So anyway, gloves are very useful. Then I would get myself a good flashlight.
Okay.
Because again, that helps really to see what's good and what's bad. So you don't bring back, you know, 10 kilos of oranges. No, not oranges, but something that might have gone moldy, like bread. It's good to very see what's good and what's bad. And, you know, maybe, well, your keys can be useful to rip open bags. But if you're not keen for keys, you know, maybe a Swiss Army knife or just something just to rip open the bin bags.
To see what's in there, right?
See what's in there, exactly. Or, for example, if you've got a bag of lemons, you know, there'll be 6 lemons in a bag. 1 is off, 5 are perfect. But they throw the whole thing out. So, you know, rip it open, take the bad one out, take the good ones home. So that's the practicalities. Then in terms of knowing when to go, you know, Scandinavia, people are quite chilled. I think a lot of countries would, these businesses regard their trash as private property. That's crazy, but that's the thing. So people get a bit, you know, defensive. So I would recommend going after closing time. Mm-hmm. But the next stage is to look at the opening hours of the business. And then once it's closed, maybe wait 45 minutes after closing and then assess, you know, go around the back, see are the bins accessible? And if they are, then, you know, tempt your luck and
go
you know,
for it.
Yeah, if that business is, doesn't work, if that business is closed, try the one down the street. That might be open. It is a numbers game. You know, maybe 2 out of 5 will be closed. Maybe 3 out of 5 will be open. But, you know, also one day might not have a lot. Another day might have a lot of food. Yeah. So it does depend a bit. Luckily, I mean, God, if it was full every day, every moment, I'd be very worried.
Yeah. And have you tried to talk with the owners of these supermarkets regarding these food waste or some authority about this?
So now that I've kind of done my stuff on Instagram, now I've set up a new page on LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. And that's going well, actually, almost as well as Instagram, unbelievably. I did a post last week that's had 17,000 views now. And but this the CEO of one of my local supermarket dumpsters already got tagged. I told you, Denmark's a small country. So uh-huh. Then I said, I wrote to this guy, Mikael Lowe, and I was like, oh God, Mikael, yeah, how about you and me have a conversation in the new year and I can show you some PowerPoint with some photos. But he already said, you know, classic PR. Yes, I've read some of the comments and I've read your post. And, but, you know, we at Netto are doing a lot to cut down on
food. We are working on it, of course.
Yeah, we're working on it. Yeah, let me just show you the 50 kilos of bacon, man.
Like, are you really working on it?
Exactly. So anyway, I hope in the new year to have some good conversations with some people who have some power to try and make some big inroads here in Denmark. Because if we can make some big progress in Denmark, then, you know, maybe some journalists from other countries will say, oh, wow, okay, we're going to make supermarket food waste illegal in Denmark. That's good. Let's do it in Germany now. And then so right now the focus is on Denmark, and then let's see where we can go in 12 months' time, 2 years' time, because, you know, this, as we said, there's problems across Western countries.
Yes, definitely. Okay. And well, you already told us that in your nearest supermarket, the bin is already locked. And in a way but maybe other people started doing it and that's why they already locked it. But have you ever also been banned from another supermarket or local store?
To say no, the employees here in Denmark have been very relaxed. They're very courteous, they're polite. If I come across an employee, I always say, you know, can I dumpster dive here? Is that okay with you? Mm. And every time they've said, yeah, no problem, go for it. My friend Michelle, who also dumpster dives here in Copenhagen, she has had a few more instances where the manager of the place comes out kind of yelling, saying, this is private property. But he doesn't know his law because it's open and it's not locked. So he's wrong. Mm. And in the USA, when we were cycling, again, you know, USA kind of obsessed with private property. There we had some issues with employees who would again come out and say, I'm going to call the cops, man. And a couple of times the police did catch us up on the bicycles saying, you know, we've had a telephone call from the local Walmart. We want to talk to you about where has all this food come from. Luckily, nothing happened. But yeah, sometimes employees maybe have had a bad day at the office or their manager tells them, go sort out. Because the thing is, all these policies are coming from the top. It's not the employees.
Mm-hmm. And they're just doing their job, whether they like it or not.
Exactly.
Okay. And with all this experience you've had in these past 2 years, what would you think it would be if there's like one solution, I believe it's not, but what would be the best solution to tackle food waste?
That's a great question. I think again, it's a complex problem, as we've pointed out. In the global north, I hate that expression, but let's call it that, most food waste happens in the home and at supermarkets. So unfortunately, people are wasting their money because they're throwing away the food they've bought. So So that is a problem that needs to be dealt with, and people hopefully will learn again the passion of cooking with COVID, I hope, and waste less food, which means more money saved. So that's the consumer level, which I don't focus so much on because I focus more on supermarkets. And on the supermarket level, so for example, Too Good To Go app, have you heard of that app?
Yes, actually I was going to tell you about it. I believe it's a Danish app, right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so
explain it to us, because I don't know if people know about this application.
Exactly. So Denmark is definitely one of the world leaders when it comes to technology. And so this lady, Meta Luca, I think her surname is, she has made a lot of money with various projects. She's a successful lady. And anyway, she realized that food waste is a problem. So she designed this app with, I think, one other person, or if not two, called Too Good To Go. And so basically they partner up with different businesses, restaurants, cafes, bakeries, also supermarkets, where basically they come to an agreement and they sell these bags with food that is too good to go in the trash. Mm-hmm. And so you pay maybe $5 for fruits and vegetables that should have been sold for maybe $15. So it's a good deal for you and Too Good To Go. Unfortunately, I now discover that when it comes to the supermarket, supermarkets here in Denmark place a limit on the number of Too Good To Go bags they sell per day.
Why?
Exactly. That's what I said to the lady. I said, hang on. If I go to the dumpsters now, it's full. Why are you capping the bags you sell to 4.5 per day? It's very specific. And of course, she doesn't know because she's an employee. And so I was like, oh my God, this is crazy. Because when they announced this big partnership with Too Good To Go, all the press wrote about, oh my God, supermarkets are going to solve food waste by
that's greenwashing.
Exactly. And it's absolute corporate greenwashing. Because the minute, again, you look at the details, it's like, oh, okay, let's go check out the dumpster. Oh, it's packed. What's happening here, guys? So anyway, I think the economics don't quite make it favorable for the supermarkets. So Too Good To Go has the potential to solve quite a bit of food waste. But clearly the economics somewhere in Denmark, at least, don't quite make sense. For example, a UK supermarket called Morrisons also put a limit on the number of bags sold per day. In Germany, 2. In the Netherlands, it's 5. So something's wrong with supermarkets and Too Good To Go. I don't know what it is. Maybe I'll have to have that conversation in the new year. But from my perspective, the solution I see is, unfortunately, I think governments are going to have to step in, and they're going to have to step in by saying, we don't want to take your food waste anymore. If we do, we're going to have to tax you. And that tax needs to be a big enough penalty to make it worthwhile for supermarkets to sell this soon to be expired food. I don't know why it's too, I don't know why it's so hard and difficult to convince supermarkets to sell food, but that's what it's come to with food waste. And so we might have to push for some legislation to say, look, sell your food. Stop putting this in the trash to burn, because this is great food and it should be feeding people, not some energy system. Mm-hmm. So that's where I think it comes down to price, and it comes down to supply and demand. And supermarkets are asking for $2 for bread when in fact they should be asking for 50 cents when it's about to go in the trash.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Actually, before you mentioned the app, I was going to tell you, because my boyfriend told me about it and I didn't know. And here in Mexico, well, especially in Mexico City, there's an application really, I believe it's basically the same. It's called Olio, but it's only that city. And they partner with, I believe they're not supermarkets, but are restaurants and bakeries and, well, all food related places. And yeah, basically they sell you, I don't know, the piece of bread. If it was, well, bread here is really cheap. If it's $2, it would be like 50 cents or something like that, to prevent exactly that we're talking about, food waste. And it's only there in Mexico City in the moment. I hope it really spreads to all the country. And actually, it's in a lot of countries in Europe. I believe also in Spain and, well, you mentioned already Germany, UK. But I didn't know about that, the thing you mentioned.
I just learned about the cap in the last 2 or 3 weeks. I just couldn't believe it.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
But, you know, who knows? Maybe when it comes to the restaurant and the hospitality industry, you know, maybe Olio and Too Good To Go are doing really important work. I just don't look into those problems because, mm-hmm. you know, already supermarket food waste is a big problem as it is. So, you know, these apps clearly have some potential in areas, but it's just from what I have seen so far, the evidence for supermarkets doesn't seem to work out. But, you know, these are still good ideas. And again, it gets people to talk about food waste, you know, less food waste at home, less food waste on the farm. So it's a good start. And, you know, whether they will solve food waste, as all the media kind of say, is another story. And what's crazy is that it's so hard to convince the media to tell the story of supermarket food waste. It's so frustrating because this is systemic and it's happening all across the West. Mm-hmm. They don't want to hear about it. It's crazy, but they want to talk about Too Good To Go or Olio because it's a technology solution that will save the world. And, you know, a lot of the evidence we see so far, that's not proving to be the case. Too Good To Go has been here for 4 years now, and they've got a lot of capital to play with.
Maybe, like you said, we're not looking into the roots, the problem, the real problem. And as you mentioned at the beginning, that our agricultural system, it's not working. It's not working and it's ending our planet, basically. And I believe you've seen the movie, the Kiss the Ground film.
I haven't seen that one yet, actually.
Good. Yeah, it's really good. It's really inspiring. And I was expecting your comments about it, but, well, you... You'll have to watch.
Do you see yourself farming one day, or do you think you'll live more in the city in the future?
Well, in my case, for me, I do not see myself in a farm, but I do compost, and I'm in the compost business, actually. So I am working with that. I'm not starting. Well, I've tried
urban farming.
Urban farming, yes. I've tried that, but I didn't succeed. My plants died. But the thing is that, well, in the film, they talk about how to generate our soil, because a healthy soil means healthy food and means healthy humans, basically, you know? And how the actual, again, agricultural system is destroying it. And we're using a lot of pesticide chemicals to restore it, while the solution, it's basically in nature and easy as just leave it or let it be almost. But it's a really good film, and if anyone else is listening, I think it's worth our time watching it. Have you tried residential harvesting or not yet? I mean in your, I don't know if in Denmark, in a flat, there are local dumpsters where people put their trash on, trash in. I mean, have you tried that or just the supermarkets?
So supermarket is my main focus. But yeah, you're right. In Denmark, for example, people generally are quite materially wealthy here. And so what's interesting is that people throw out like cupboards and desks and beds and lights. I mean, they throw so much out every day. And so Panilla is very, very good at upcycling some materials. Like, for example, this table I'm currently working at, mm-hmm. the top she bought, but the legs are up from the trash downstairs. There's so many materials that if you have the time and, you know, a bit of practice, like using oils and different things like this, there's so many materials to go around. But again, it's, you know, that excessive affluence and, you know, in a way, disrespect for, you know, a lot of great furniture and objects. So yeah, definitely. We've saved a lot of money from stuff from other people who've chucked it out. So in a way, it's kind of like the freegan lifestyle.
I was going to tell you about the freegan movement, because I believe it's a movement. It's exclusively, well, according to me, the freegan movement, it's like dumpster diving, but you're vegan, no?
It sounds like it, really.
According to me, it was like that, but I'm not quite sure.
You're right. I mean, that would make sense, because, I mean, freegan, a vegetarian. Yeah,
or,
I don't know.
Vegetarian or vegan, whatever.
Yeah, so I don't know, perhaps. But also, for the freegan, I'm not sure, actually, because freegan perspective is very much living off society's excess. I know there's a lot of excess meat and cheese and fish, and so I'm not sure if freegan would be in the position to turn down all those free resources. Mm-hmm. So we'll have to look it up. I'm not sure. But yeah, certainly freeganism is a big movement. And if you look up on Instagram, you know, the hashtag freegan, there's all sorts of stuff that people are documenting and writing about. So yeah, I mean, it's interesting movements to look into, and certainly some inspiring people.
Sure. And this is my last question that I told you that I ask all my guests. And it's, what would you have liked to know before entering this food waste issue, this food waste world?
God, you've caught me there.
It could be anything, really.
In a way, I wish I'd learn more about the concrete statistics of how much supermarket food waste was caused. How much supermarkets were causing the food waste in Denmark. So, for example, it's 23%. Consumers are only responsible for 37%. So the difference between the two is only 14%. You know, whereas if you look at any Danish media, it's always, you know, blaming you, me and grandma, as I say, for, you know, not composting our carrots and things like this. Because once I really discovered how bad the situation is, I would have probably tried to start writing more in the media myself, as a kind of freelance journalist, because then once you can publish a piece, then you can reach out more to you know, national news or others. So yeah, maybe I should have gone more deep into the data and less into the dumpster. But anyway, not much you can do about it. And the dumpster gave me free food, so it's not the end of the world.
Do you plan to continue harvesting in the future?
Yeah, I mean, as long as the dumpsters are open. Right now, I've had to calm it down a little bit, just like in terms of the small harvest. Like when I come coffee, I bring the coffee home. But I've just been a little busy trying to reach out to media and then doing a podcast. Like, so this takes time. But yeah, harvesting, as long as the dumpsters remain open, absolutely.
Okay. Well, yeah. I don't know, Matt, do you have any final comments or thoughts for our audience regarding food waste and all we talked about it? Because this episode, it's just like a fraction of the problem of this huge problem we have in front of us. And there's a lot of things we can do. And also a lot of, I also believe that we as consumers, we also have this duty of reaching researching our sources and see what we can do and not just listening to this podcast and, oh, okay, well, there's food waste in Denmark and in Mexico, but just that. No, we have to do something else.
Exactly.
So what are your
thoughts? That's a great question. I think first thing first, like, it took me a long time to understand that, but food basically is life and it is everything. Like, it's the most political thing of our lives by a long way. So for example, if you could grow some of your own food already, that will bring, you know, a lot of power to you and understanding of where your food comes from and how much it takes energy to grow your food. You said you unfortunately failed with your plot. I've never tried. Why? Because it's difficult and it takes a lot of time and knowledge. So anyway, I think it's always great when people start thinking about food. That's a great first step. Where's my tomato coming from? Where's my bread coming from? How do we make bread? Things like this. Then from the food waste perspective, for me, I feel like a schizophrenic, to be honest. Sometimes I'm almost depressed because I'm like, this is crazy. We're never going to get out this madness. But then part of me is like, oh my God, if we can fix this madness, then, you know, we can liberate so many of the world's resources, starting in Copenhagen, then Denmark, then Germany, then the USA. Then you like, shit, this is millions of tons of food, more food for people, more space for wildlife, fewer greenhouse gases in the atmosphere, and just a better planet to live on. So I think, yeah, it's a bit of a depressing topic if you just, you know, look in one post and then drop out. If you follow the journey, then actually it can be very inspiring because there's a lot of inroads to be made. And, you know, food waste is going to fix itself because it can't go on. And so the goal is to fix it as soon as possible. So I think that's kind of a good final message, really.
Okay, yeah. Fix it as soon as possible. Yeah, we have to do something about it. And well, please share us your social media accounts for following you.
Yeah, exactly. So if people are interested, I'm on Instagram. It's called An Urban Harvester because I'm harvesting in a city. And if people want to connect on LinkedIn, they are more than welcome. It's Matt Homewood, food waste campaigner. And then LinkedIn will be a different side of the discussion. Mm. So if they want to add me on there, no problem. This isn't, you know, some work related. This is, you know, open source forum to tackle food waste in Denmark to start off with and then beyond. And I, you know, the CEO of the local supermarket dumpster's getting tagged in there. So, you know, you can put some pressure on him saying, yo, what's going on? Mm-hmm. So yeah, if you feel like it, but join me, and you will also see a lot of activists from across the West who are doing amazing work showing their supermarkets' dirty secrets. So yeah, that's it really.
Yeah, definitely go check Matt's Instagram account because he's done a really good job, and I'll definitely follow you on LinkedIn as well. I think it's a really great platform, just like you mentioned, to talk about the problems that we're facing, but also, well, like in this case, tag the responsibles of it. So, hey, this is happening in your backyard. What are you going to do about it? No, or let's find a solution. Why not? And well, thank again, Matt, for your time. Thank you. I really appreciate it, and I hope you liked it, the experience. And you know, English is not my mother language, but I did my best. I hope you liked it.
Awesome. It's been awesome. Thank you so much, Valeria, to have me on board. Really great conversation. Loads of questions I've never had to answer before. So that's great to, you know, talk about and think about, because, you know, every discussion is a new discussion. And so that's been awesome. And thank you so much for reaching out to me to have this conversation. I hope your listeners find it of interest and are inspired to take some action on food waste, no matter where they are in the world.
Exactly. Yes, I'm sure they will. And thanks again, Matt, for being here. And thank you for listening. We'll see you next Thursday.